Okay, so, review of 16. The homework that you all had was to do the Lulu chart four more times. Okay, so we went over some of the sentences, last week. And so to work on those, do you all have any questions about the vocab or Luo, all the primary amount of the vocab in this lesson was to deal with the aorist passive and the future passive indicatives.
Any tricks on memorizing the passive?
Well, the endings are all things, and so, you know, I mean, it's, you just look for the things that are in common on them. And so that would be the big thing. When it comes to the past tense, you know, you have the epsilon on the front, and if it's an aorist, you have the sigma. And if it's the passive, what?
If it's future, you have the sigma.
No. If it's an aorist, you have an epsilon on the front and a sigma in the middle.
Not exactly.
Now, if you
passive.
I
didn't say passive. I said aorist. That's aorist active. But if it's passive, then you have the thane.
You have theta.
You have theta, I'm sorry.
Theta in front. How does that affect your...
A gear thane is because that comes from a gear row. And so you have the epsilon, which becomes the eta.
Epsilon.
Remember, same with the alpha. And it elongates it. What were you going to ask, Christopher, or say? You had your hand up.
I can't remember them because
weapons in free class.
That's what I said. Man, he's going to expel him from the school as a terrorist threat. I'm going to call 911. We're going to have the cops surrounding the place.
I remember that the future and aorist passive indicative has the tha lengthened to tha throughout the indicative, and then the aorist has the secondary endings, ns, nothing, men, and te, and s, or son, and then just add, and then, you don't really have to do anything but add in that they in the future.
That's right. Exactly right. Theys.
Right.
Yes.
And the s is because it's future.
That's right.
The a is because the a is lengthened.
Good. Exactly right. Okay, so, so primarily, I mean, that's really, for me, that's the key, is I'm going to look at those things that are just different, and then it's a matter of just knowing the endings, but a lot of the endings carry through, so like a lot of the future endings carry over from the present, you know, so you have so, say, say.
There are no resemblance at all to...
You're talking about the base,
the
stem of the word, right. That's correct, and that's why they're second aorist. That's exactly right. As a whole, okay? But honestly, straight up, once January 10th comes, right, or January 5th comes, then you don't care anymore about the words you just memorized. then you're looking for the lexicon.
Okay, good.
But until January 4th, you care. anyways, but seriously, the part of this is just forcing you to become familiar with the words. You know, like with meeting with Daniel today, we were looking at Hebrew, some passages in the Old Testament and New Testament, and I just pulled my palm out and was looking at the Hebrew and the Greek, different things. And some of the Hebrew, I knew I was going to know the word. Even looking at it, I was going to be shocked if I could pick it out because it wasn't a common word. Does that make sense? And so, same with the Greek. Sometimes, you know, so I have my Greek New Testament, and there's a lot of times I go straight to the lexicon to see what the word is or to confirm what the word is, even if I think I know it. I mean, since I don't read it every day, I got to go check it out. What were you going to say, Brooke? Okay.
What's the difference between the primary tense and the secondary tense?
The primary tense and the secondary tense. Where are you seeing that? Oh, the aorist being a secondary tense down there?
Mm-hmm. I must have mentioned it in the last chapter, too, because I had written it down as a question in my chapter 15 notes.
Seems like the secondary tenses are all the past tense.
President of the Future. President of the Future have primary endings.
This is, I remember them. These are all kind of similar.
It's in all that linguine stuff that we try to skip.
There you go. That's right.
It says its second aorist is a secondary tense.
Yes,
but then
that's paragraph 192.
The imperfect for secondary and the aorists are all secondary.
Right, okay. That it has the different endings. It doesn't have the same endings. Paragraph 192 says second aorist being a secondary tense is secondary personal endings. Between these and the stem comes the variable vowel, omicron, see, epsilon. Go ahead.
Okay. But then it says down in paragraph 200, the future passive indicative is formed by adding solar A to the aorist passive stem, which, however, since the future is a primary, not a secondary tense, has in the future no augment.
Okay, but that, again, that's what, like Brooke was saying, it's going into the linguistic stuff of how the form, the word is being formed. Do you understand?
Okay.
No? Yes?
Okay.
Okay, and so the primary tense then is, verify myself.
Because it talks about the secondary personal endings and.
Right, but it's just talking about what we've been discussing, the main root, the main formation of a word. Let me find where it's at. Paragraph 20, 11, 52.
Marcia, it is helpful if you understand that present and future both have primary endings, and if you look at them, their endings are the same as the present active and the future
mm-hmm.
active.
Right.
The only difference is the future has the same. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, the O is A, omnibus usi.
Mm-hmm.
Present, middle, and passive.
But it's not talking about the endings, though. It's talking about the tenses, because it says later on that it's the tense.
Okay.
The secondary personal endings.
But it's the endings for the tense. Okay, if you go to paragraph 20, which is on page 21 in my book.
Okay.
Okay. You there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So down the very bottom, there's a footnote there, okay, that goes along with it. Okay, in the footnote, it says, the primary tenses are the present, future, and perfect. The secondary tenses are imperfect, aorist, and pluperfect. Okay? Now, in the paragraph 20, the second paragraph, okay, it says the primary personal endings, which would naturally stand in the tenses called primary tenses, were, it seems, originally as followed. Okay? And so that's where he gets into what we were talking about way back then.
Okay.
Okay, of the linguistics. Okay? Of him coming out with what he believes and what scholars believe might have been the original ending. Okay, and then breaking out the variable vowels and stuff like that. Okay, so you have, as Brooke was saying, the present, the future, and the perfect pretty much follow the same pattern for endings. The others follow a different pattern. So you have primary and secondary.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
I mean, just. Yeah, I mean.
That really does help.
It does. No. That there is part of it that
it doesn't tell me why it's primary and secondary. I'm sure there's a reason why one is called the primary and one is called the secondary, because one must be formed from the other.
Well, that's the present tense would be the what I would always assume would be a primary tense. It's the one that you use. So whatever. But the point is that yes, that the ones that are based off the primary. Okay, are going to look the same. I mean, and so I mean, I know I joke about the linguistic side, but in a sense, it's pattern. It's still the concept is pattern, mm-hmm. and that's what I look at. And so you have the primary pattern for me, okay, and that's the O H A omnet usi. So for future, it's simple. I mean, I just do the present and I add a sigma between the stem and the ending. So. And then same thing when you get to the future passive, I'm just adding a thes. So, I know technically it's the thay plus the sigma, but it's for me it's just thes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So, You all ready? Ready to overbe?
Yes.
Who's ready to overbe tonight? Two more weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. Let's see. Today's the 14th, 21st, 28th. So, 3 more weeks. 3 weeks. All right. So, should I give you the test? Just give you a quiz.
Quiz
would be good, okay. All right. Aww. Oh, bummer. But the test is done.
We'll take it then. We'll have a copy now. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a copy now. Yeah. Can we have it as a take home? No.
I like that idea.
All right. There you go. And I will pause the. You get it started again? I don't see it started. Oh, yeah, okay. All right, good. Everybody did very well on the quizzes. Some could have done a whole lot better if they would have paid attention to what they were doing. anyways, and those who struggled a little bit, you still did well. And so it's very exciting to see. And so you do have the test in 3 weeks. Now, nutshell. From chapter 8 all the way to chapter 16. What are the concepts that we went over during these times? We did the personal pronouns and the demonstrative pronouns, right? So pronouns, big picture pronouns, right? And paragraph?
106
was one, was something that we talked about over and over again, right? And the different uses of altos and so how all those things come together, and if you've got a couple pronouns or what looks like pronouns at the same time, what do you do with them? Okay? So you should know concepts of pronouns. That's basically chapter 8 and chapter 9, okay? Or those chapters. And then from there, we got into expanding the Luo chart, okay? And we learned past tense. That was imperfect. And imperfect was the continuing past tense. We learned aorist. That was the punctiliar past tense. We learned future. That was the future. Anyways, so, and then we learned second aorist, right? And the difference between the second aorist and the first aorist is only stem change in endings, right? You got to go from primary to secondary. But as a whole, what was being stated is it's not a separate tense. It's still the same. It's still aorist. It's just that they're different in their stem, okay? There was a stem change. And so that really is the bulk of everything that you've learned, okay? There was just a lot of that that went on, a lot of verbs. There's a lot of expanding your brain resources. And so that's why the last 2 weeks we've done nothing but Luo charts for homework. Okay, I would recommend that you know the Luo chart. Okay, and as in the previous test, you're not required to know accenting, but accenting is always considered as extra credit if you know it, right? So, do I need to say that again for people to hear it? Okay, so you don't have to know it. But if you want to know it, and you choose to write it, it could be worth some extra points on the test.
Except and the breathers.
Breathers are required. Yoda subscripts are required. Okay? Those are part of the word. Okay? Accenting is just the accent, the grave, and the circumflex. Okay?
The acute.
I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Yeah, the acute, the grave, and the circumflex. Those are what I'm referring to as extras, okay? So if you choose to do that, it could be worth anywhere from a quarter point to 18 points in that test. So, you know, it could be the difference between a D and a C and a B and an A and a woohoo! So, anyways, so we can go over the Luo chart if you want to, but I think that's pretty basic. I think that you guys can figure that one on, Yes, sir.
Can I ask about the stem change?
Yes, you can.
It goes to luo to elepon. Is that the same word?
It is not.
Elepon. So why did we go to elepon instead of luo?
Because that's from elepon is from
lepo.
Thank you, lepo. Lepo, because when lepo changes, then it becomes elepon. It does a stem change.
Well, why don't we use luo?
Because luo is luo.
Because luo uses the first aorist for its
right.
Stem.
It doesn't use the second aorist.
Correct.
It's got to be one or the other.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's yeah, it's got to be one or the other. So since luo uses the first aorist, then they use lepo.
So what do you mean by a stem change?
Well, it goes from lepe, lamed, lambda. Sorry, lamed is Hebrew. I've been looking at Hebrew today. Lambda, epsilon, yoda, p. And it goes to lambda,
yoda,
p. Yeah, but I know, but when I said the lambda, I'm still trying to figure out if I'm saying Hebrew or Greek. Anyways, yes, lambda. Anyways, do you understand? So the epsilon drops out in the middle of the stem. So that's a minor stem change. But some of those other words, remember, that we looked at in vocab, were major stem changes.
Yeah. All the second aorist verbs are different. The stem is different from the present form. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the idea.
That's a part of being second aorist. Is it a stem change?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. There's really no other way for me to tell you that other than the way it happens.
Paragraph.
Lesson 15. That's paragraph 187 and following. And paragraph 188 is very clear, says it cannot be determined beforehand whether a verb is going to have a first aorist or a second aorist, nor if it has a second aorist, what the form of that second aorist will be. These matters can be settled only by an examination of lexicon for each individual verb. Okay, so, I mean, honestly, if you look at lesson 15 vocab, okay, look at the top of the right column, aninka, okay? But if you look at it, it is the aorist of Pharaoh. Now, it says it's first aorist, okay, but it has a major stem change, so it takes the concept of a second aorist there, okay, but it has the first aorist endings, but you can see the major stem change that there is. Okay, and the second word on that column was lepo, and you see the second aorist is elepon, and that's the one that we're using for the form, for the chart.
Okay, I drop the
yes, exactly.
And then
Nenka. Yes, ka.
Right.
Right. Yes, kappa. Right. But it's still considered first aorist. Is the point. And so, there are exceptions to rules. This is already English. Yeah. But you can see all that whole vocab there in lesson 15 is all second aorist. Right. It changes.
So it doesn't affect our rule of chart.
No, it doesn't check. I mean, that's exactly right. And the goal of memorizing Luo chart is so that as you come upon things in the New Testament, that you see the ending, you see the augment, and you say, oh, this is probably that. And so, like, for example, second aorist, if you recognize the fact that this is potentially second aorist, mm-hmm. automatically you know what?
No,
potentially, a strong potential that there's a what? Stem change. Okay? So now what's nice though, honestly, and I didn't bring my New Testament Greek, it's over on the other side, I can go get it. But in the lexicon, a lot of times when there's a second aorist, the form will be in the lexicon by itself. And it'll say aorist form of whatever. Okay? So in other words, if it's something that's you're yeah, sorry. Well, but sometimes, you know, the ones you think ought to be there aren't there. And you just have to take a few moments to really think the process and say, okay, context.
What's an online Greek dictionary that has
Yeah, come on, don't do that. That's like when I taught math and kids wanted to use their calculators and everything else. No, you don't get to use your calculator. What? So Mrs. Smith's class gets to use them. I'm not Mrs. Smith. And I'm teaching you to know how to do trigonometry and how to do geometry. And so when you walk out of my class, you'll know the forms. But when they got out of my class, they knew how to do all those things. They didn't rely upon their calculators. All right, so that's the forms. Okay, so that's pretty simple stuff. Okay, let's go back to paragraph 106. Okay, and as we look at the pronouns, and just kind of review those and see if there are questions as we come through. In fact, what I'd like to do is start with a review of paragraph 105. Okay, because 105 really plays into 106 as well. Okay, and so we have altos, and this starts off stating, in addition to its use as personal pronoun, okay, the he, she, and it, okay, of the third person, altos is also used in these other three ways. It can be used for its intensive use as a noun, and when it is, it's going to be used in the predicate position. Okay, everybody remember what the predicate position means? What does it mean, predicate position? What is the predicate position? Think back to adjectives. Great, Christopher.
Where's the good one?
Okay, but what does it mean, predicate? How would you recognize the predicate position?
No article.
Okay. Now, that's initially a true statement, but there is the potential that you can have no article for the adjective or this pronoun, and no article for the noun, and it would be attributive, not predicate. It doesn't have to be after the noun, okay? It just has to have no article, and the noun has an article, okay? If they both don't have articles, then it becomes your interpretation, do you understand, as you look at it. And that's when we said, for example, with the adjectives, okay, that if it was sitting after the noun, you would probably be more inclined to look at it as predicate. If it was sitting before the noun, you would look at it, be more inclined to look at it as being attributive. Okay? So your examples are, right below it, you have, for example, you have the altos immediately is before the noun here. Altos ha apostolos. Okay? Or you can have it being after it, ha apostolos altos, the apostle himself. Okay? And then you have alte, hey, ecclesia, ecclesia, or hey, ecclesia, alte, the church itself. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so that's the intensifier, and it's sitting in a predicate position. If it's sitting in the attributive position, it's meant that you used it as same, the same one. And so here you have the altos sitting between the article and the noun. I'm sorry? Subparagraph 2. Okay? Ha altos apostolos, or ha apostolos ha altos, the same apostle. Okay? And so this is where we're talking about. They don't have the example here, but if you don't have an article at all, okay, this is the situation I'm talking about, then all of a sudden you have to decide if it's the same and the article is just there, is what do you call it, is being implied. Okay, or whether it's going to be an apostle himself.
So you're saying that ha apostolos, ha autos is attributive?
It's attributive, yes. That's in the articles, or the adjectives.
So they both have an article, and the adjective is after the noun, but it's still attributive.
That's correct. If they both have an article, that's attributive.
No, it's not when I have the noun.
That's always been the case. Always has been the case. So, yes, very clearly, if the article is right next to the adjective pronoun, okay, it's attributive. The only time that you have the problem with is when neither one of them have an article. When it's an adjective, you got a debate. Realistically, here with the pronouns, you're probably going to opt for that it's in a predicate position, because it doesn't make sense to say and same apostle. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
You would.
Right. You almost have to have a definite. Okay? That's why I said, though, that you have to make an assumption whether there's going to be an implied article. Okay? Again, I hate implying anything. Okay, but sometimes, as we skip words and leave things out, so you find that in the New Testament. You find that in Greek as well. We don't like to think that because we like to think it's the Word of God. It's perfect, right? But, you know, there are run-on sentences. There are a lot of things. God uses our personalities in writing his Word. So anyways, that's for you to, and we take our English sense and we bring it into these languages as well, and we think it can't be that way, and it can be that way. Okay? And then three, its intensive use is often goes with pronouns or with the unexpressed subject of a verb. And so you can see the example is it has autos ego lego, okay, or autos lego, I myself say. And so the first one, ego is I, lego I say, but then you have this autos, well, I myself say, okay, is the idea. In fact, for the first one, I almost would say I myself say, because to have the ego and the autos in there is really intensifying it. I, even I myself say this. Well, but you still want to put the I myself because the autos is the myself. And so that's the idea. So I myself say.
So is that a double noun? Autos? Ego?
Yeah, because ego is I, is me. I. And autos is okay. So in other words, neither one of them need to be there. Lego is I say. And so if I put ego lego, Lego my ego.
That's how we remember Lego.
That's how I always do too. Lego,
my ego.
I said Lego my ego. But then it would be I, even I say. You know, you have it's almost intensified by itself. And so to put the autos in there is really doubling the intensifier.
Quick way to recognize autos is a pronoun versus its use as an intensifier or an adjective.
Honestly, it's going to be knowing positions that it is in. Also, it is going to be I'm thinking of different words here. Never mind. The primary position, primarily its position. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's sitting with a
adjective, you know it's.
Well, if with another noun, if it's sitting with another noun, then immediately you know it's being used that way. Okay.
You wouldn't have two nouns together.
I'm sorry.
Because you wouldn't have two nouns together. Although you would have. No,
right, those are verbs.
So that makes it a magic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If it's the only time really that you're going to struggle is if it's nominative. Okay. If it's accusative, then it's not intensifying the verb, and so immediately. It's pronoun. Then you're down to the, is it sitting with a noun? To intensify the noun. I see the apostle himself. Or I see the same apostle. Does that make sense? But you don't have to worry about number three. I myself see the apostle himself. Get it? So, because I see him. If it's not sitting with a noun, I see him. Right, but if it's in the nominative, a lot of times you're going to have to potentially opt for intensifier because it's not necessary. Okay? And so that's why when you have the demonstrative pronouns, am I using the term properly? Yes. The this and the these, okay, a lot of times those will be used because these ones saw the apostle himself. Those ones, this one. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. It'll be used a lot of times in place of that third person pronoun in the nominative. Anyways.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's going to be based upon context and your interpretation. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, that's just, nominatives don't really, I mean, that really is going to be the only struggle point for you. Okay. So, in 106 then, we did 105, come to 106, and we see then the use of the adjectives along with the pronouns coming down. So we have the review here, and this is, you know, we talked about with the attributive. Number one is the attributive, where you have the adjective between the article and the noun, and then both having an article. It's attributive, it's a good word. Secondly is the predicate position, and that is that the adjective is outside of the article and noun. The word is good. And then coming in then with the demonstrative pronoun, the houtos, that's sitting outside. Note, it's sitting outside in the predicate position. So it's this word, okay? The kainos is just that. So it's this and that. Same thing, sitting in the predicate position. Does that make sense? Okay?
But if it's sitting in the predicate position, then it's following kind of like the opposite rule, because then it goes before the noun.
Yes, and if in your mind you're seeing it that way, yes, I would agree. But there's no definite article then in the translation. The reality would be is that you would translate this as this word, or the word, this one. The word is this one. And so that just comes back to this word. The word is that one. That word.
So it's
sitting in the predicate position. But if you see it as that, the word is that one, and then it's just truncated in translation to or that word. That's exactly right. Yeah. And then the autos, again, coming back into what we just looked at from paragraph 105, autos halagos, sitting in the predicate position, the word itself, sitting in the attributive position, the same word. Okay? And then you have the basic uses of the pronouns. The mu, which is the first person pronoun, halagos mu, my word. Third person, halagos atu, his word. And then using it with the verb, and this is what I said, that if it's in the accusative, it's easy. Blepo altan, I see him. That's a no-brainer. It's accusative. Blepo tatan, I see this man, this one. But the assumption is, because it's tatan, it's man. I see this man. If it was tate, or tatane, you would say, I see this woman, because it would be feminine. Okay, and then blepo tata, I see these things.
So what he's saying is that is the second is the
taltane.
I see these
things. Which one's in it?
I see this man. What would you say if it wasn't implied man or woman?
Well, remember, there's masculine, feminine, neuter endings on that.
So he's saying he's one.
That's where the last one is that, okay? And you say these things, okay? But if it's feminine, and if there's not, you don't have an antecedent. Like, for example, the antecedent of a feminine plural could be churches. And so you would say then, I see these churches, and you may even imply churches into it for your reading. Do you understand? For your writing of it? Because you would know that it's going back to churches, and so you wouldn't say these things. That wouldn't make sense. These ones, that really wouldn't make sense. And so I don't know how else I would put churches in there. Mm-hmm. It just makes more sense. Does that make sense? Are you guys tracking with that? Okay. All right. Okay, and then, all right, so that's, I just, you know, it's one of those stomp, stomp, Hey, Brooke, it's one of those stomp stomps, okay? It just stomp stomp, okay? So 105, 106, stomp stomp. So, yeah, okay. So, and that, you know, and this goes without, should go without, because I, as I've stated this in the past, my philosophy is that quizzes test what we've gone over the last week. And so it's a review of what you just did. But the test is a review of the quizzes. This is a review of what you've done. Well, no, not necessarily. not necessarily that. I don't mean it necessarily that way. But in a sense, if I've tested you on it, quote unquote, in a quiz, that meant what?
It was important.
It was important. And so those are the things that I'm...
important.
That's right. And so when we went over those chapters, I did paragraph 106 and all that a lot, okay? So, and we've done the LUO charts an awful lot lately, haven't we? Yeah, so I would think that'd make sense, okay? So things that are important here. All right. Now, I told you in the past, I think, but I will go over again. Your test is 3 pages long. 3 pages. Fine print. It's all on 6-point. Anyways, I've given you 5 hours to do it. I'm taking a break, though. Here's no. Seriously, it's 3 pages long. Okay? You're going to have to do, you have to know your Lewis chart. You're going to have vocab. Okay? And it'll be matching. But there's a lot of vocab. So the matching is just to make it easier on me grading. Anyways.
And taking it.
It does. It speeds it up when it's matching. And then there's translation. But as I told you before, the translation is multiple choice.
Mm-hmm. You'll give a sentence and you say, does it mean this, this, or this?
That's exactly right.
Outstanding.
Now, it won't happen on your. That won't happen. That won't happen. That won't happen on your final test. But for this test, the primary importance is more than that. It's the literature. What I just told them was, the test is 3 pages long. Okay, you got to know the literature. Okay, I'm not saying how much of it's going to be on there. That's on your homework sheet, right? Okay, you got vocab, which is going to be matching again, but clearly I've said this is a 3-page test, so it tells you that there's, you know, you got to know vocab, and there's translation, but translations are multiple choice. Okay, so that could help you, but sometimes that could be confusing, because you could look at two of them and say, oh, I didn't think about that. It could be that. But no, it could be that. It can only be one. So, any other questions?
Can this answer be used more than once?
No. Okay, so that is the extent of everything that I feel like I have to give you right now. I want to answer questions. But that's the... I mean, honestly, that was the primary stuff. If you notice, the last couple tests really are LUO and vocab, LUO and vocab. Because that's all we've been doing, is verbs and verbs. And verbs.
Any translation that you would recommend practicing?
Yes, from lesson 8 through lesson 16.
Oh, just those.
Just those.
You write that down.
Now, honestly, okay, I mean, what can I tell you? Okay? Honestly, I've told you that there are 3 parts to this test. Okay? I've told you there is a LUO chart. I've told you there's translation, vocab, and I've told you there's translation. But I also stomped and told you that what? Was what? Important. So now, you can figure out how all that fits together, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I could take the test out. I could put it up on the board for you now.
Okay.
So maybe we should review the translations that have to do with
That's pretty, Steve. That is really pretty. What is it?
This is my little chart.
That's awesome, dude.
Imperfect tenses and negative looks exactly like second as.
I don't know. Tell me that again, though. Imperfect?
Imperfect active indicative of second aorist active indicative.
Except for the stems.
Yes. The
end. Stems.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I think the imperfect middle passage is the same as second aorist.
Primarily, yes. The difference is that second aorist passive is pain, not pomain. And no, in fact, the second aorist follows
middle.
Well, you know, he said middle and passive. The middle
imperfect middle passive is the same as second aorist middle.
That's correct. Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you said second aorist middle and passive. Second aorist passive follows first aorist passive. And actually, yeah, anyways.
So normally I tell the difference is because you have a stem.
Correct. That is correct. But if you look at, Steve, if you look at the first aorist, though, okay, mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that it may look identical to you otherwise, but if you look at the first aorist and second aorist, there really is a strong similarity coming through that as well. And so it goes to epsilon instead of the alpha, the sauce. So you have os instead of s, because you just drop the sigma on the stem change. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so if you get the first aorist, it has a sigma, and then the second aorist, it doesn't have that sigma. So get rid of that sigma thing, okay? And just look purely at the ending. You go from os to s, almond to almond, ata to eta, and on.
It's just different enough.
I know. And so for you, if it makes sense to go imperfect, I just, in a sense, I'm a blend here.
It's so easy for first of all.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it's
got a nice
see, this is where the linguistic side, I mean, that I am interested in, the pattern side. And so I do want to remember that it's aorist. And so I do try to relate it back to the aorist if I can, because I don't want to necessarily relate it back to the imperfect, because it's punctiliar, not continual. And in my brain, if I did that, then I would struggle with the tensing of it. So anyways.
If you relate it back to the imperfect, that must kind of pure secondary.
Right. So, but anyways, this is exciting. I mean, if you look at my little chart, and I was trying to work on this today, but I can't. I've got to do it in Publisher, anyways, because OpenOffice won't let me do it. But remember, near the beginning, like last test, you knew this little section right here, that little bitty thing that was on test one. Now here we are, test two, and everything above my fingers that you know.
Just even tested.
And test on. Right. But now, think about it. Now you've got, so think about it, just like this, now you've got the rest of that for the next two tests.
Isn't this called torture?
it's not that hard. It isn't. It's foundational stuff. It's foundational. And you know, it's like a lot of things. You know, some of these are getting easier because you relate it back to the other ones. It's going to be the same thing when you hit some of these others.
No, that's why the primary and the
aorist is
doesn't.
A whole. Because the first aorist passive doesn't relate to the first aorist middle.
Oh, yeah.
It's just theirs.
Oh, you're right. That's right. The passive for both.
Right. And that would be in lesson 16.
Oh, really? We talked about that?
That's just where we learned it. So, yeah, I mean, it talks about the formation of it, but I don't know if it's why it's different than the others. It's just. I'm sorry. First year's middle has no what?
That's what all the other passives have, those secondary endings.
Well, the secondary endings, that applies broadly to active and mirror. The own S that you see in the imperfect active, own S with own.
That's what
yeah,
I said.
No, those are primary.
Well.
Because that's the omnete usi, only there's.
I wrote an omega here on my direction. It's an O.
No.
The ones that have omein in first person singular and omepha in, or something similar to that in first person plural, I think that all of those sets, all
I
of
wrote,
those declensions are considered secondary.
When you say secondary tenses, it seems we're talking about past tense, the secondary tense.
I'm sorry?
When it says secondary tense, are you referring to past tense?
No.
Middle is a voice.
That's correct. Tenses are the indicative is a mood. Active, middle, and passive is voice. Present, and aorist, and imperfect are tenses. And that's where in paragraph 20, again, I'm going there again, the subnote says, the primary tenses are the present, future, and perfect. Secondary tenses are imperfect, aorist, and pluperfect. And so you cannot necessarily say that they are just past tense. Oh, I'm getting it. I'm sorry. I'm just gelling. Present, future, and perfect, because perfect is past tense, okay? But it has a continuing action. And so the secondary tenses are the imperfect, the aorist, and the pluperfect, which are all generations, if you would, off of perfect. So you have past, present, and future, right? Would you agree? Past, present, future?
Mm-hmm.
So that's perfect, present, future. And then within the realm of, remember when we talked about on the board, when I talked about how Greek does the past tense, there are numerous ways to do the past tense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the concept. So perfect then is the concept of something, a past action. That's had a continuing result. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So those are your primaries. Those are your primary tenses. Then the secondary tenses are the ones that are saying, no. Then they relate the endings back to the primary and secondary tenses. And again, I'm not saying, telling you I'm an expert on it. I mean, this is.
Well, we're confused because there's the similarity between all the actives and all the middles, even though the tenses are different.
That's right. And that's why I said to you that I'm not the guy, the linguistic expert here, who can answer those questions. And that's just to me that the easiest thing is just to look and for you to see what pattern is going to be the easiest thing. Okay? And so for me, I do that, like what you're saying with the OAs, A, O, and O, C. I mean, very clearly, the future is exactly the same except for the sigma. And the omai a eti, almost the s anti, sigma. Okay? Now, then it changes, though. You know, like, for example, the passive for present is the same, but for the future, there's a different passive. But it's exactly the same. It's just now, instead of having...
But see, that's... It seems like there are primarily two sets of endings. And that's
right.
What I'm saying. There's a primary set of endings, and there's a secondary set of endings. I'm not talking about tenses, necessarily. And so...
Okay, but they said that the endings primarily go with those. And so, if you look at, you have those, the present and the future, which are primary tenses. Okay? Their endings are dead on.
See, this is also aorist. And this has endings like that after.
Okay, but what she's saying, and I agree with, is ignore that for a second. Come here and look at the S, os, e, e, amen, amen, eta, eta, ata.
Right, but that's active and active and active. That's
okay.
It seems like that's the... Like, that's the reasoning behind, that's why you do that.
Okay, I'm sure there's the bringing it through for the active. I agree with that. But the point is that there are, the you're wrapping on the primary endings and secondary endings, okay, which they said relate to the primary tenses and secondary tenses, and I'm just trying to pull out what... present and the future are primary tenses. And so if you look at those, there is not even a changing of the vowel. No?
Okay.
I'm just not tracking.
That's okay. I'm not tracking at all with the division that you're doing. I mean, I just don't.
Well, you don't have to.
I don't see that.
Well, that's okay.
I'm not seeing any similarity there to follow
Marsh,
the pattern.
But that's what I told you way back in the beginning. It doesn't. That's the thing. If you spend a lot of time spinning on it, it's not going to make sense. Okay? So the easiest thing at this level, okay, if you're not really fully into linguistics,
all these active endings,
is just memorize
pattern,
the endings.
Yeah.
And then the
two different kinds of patterns.
That's why I
have
my setup
like
this.
Mm-hmm. So appreciate the difference.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's, everybody's going to see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to figure out the pattern that's going to help you. Okay? And but there is, linguistically, a reason for patterns. I just, straight up, I mean, that's why I'm not teaching Greek in the seminary, okay? I haven't really cared about the in-depth changes of it. For me, the primary thing in teaching this is for you to know how to use a circular saw and a hammer and to do basic translations. And so, I'll try to do some encouraging. Don't wrap on it. All right. Any other questions? No? Father, thank you for you. Thank you for your love. And thank you for the Greek language. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of the students to do well in preparing for the test. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a sweet time these next 2 weeks, still meditating upon your incarnation and the awesomeness of that event. Lord, I pray as well that you would be glorified in our diligence. Lord, I pray that we would take the gifts and the abilities that you've given to us to be able to appreciate your word in a greater way, and then also to be greater prepared to share your word with others that you bring in our path. In Jesus' name, amen.